I'd like on this Easter Sunday to kind of complete the sermon that I have been trying to prepare in the days of Lent, and particularly to use the same focus, namely a demystification of the figure of Jesus. As I said over and over, nobody in the New Testament, even the Gospel of John, which moves Jesus closer to God than any of the other four Gospels, believed that Jesus was divine. They saw him as a human being. And we suffer, I think, under the weight of thousands of years of Christian speculating, Christian theologizing about this man, to the extent that the human reality is eclipsed. All theology is a human construction, huh? It's an interpretation, and therefore it's culture and time-bound, and therefore it's constantly open to being revisited and reinterpreted, huh? The problem is that we have sort of privileged certain interpretations without being aware that there are many. There are four Gospels. There's not just one, there are four. Four different readings of the figure of Jesus, and many more than that. And there continue to be more. So having said all that, what is going on Easter? See, part of the privileging of the figure of Jesus is above all derived from the Gospel of John, where Jesus seems to be simply God, period, finished. So Jesus gets killed, and then Jesus goes skyward, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable. Luke is a good example. Wasn't it necessary? No, it wasn't necessary, as a matter of fact. But that's Luke's particular take on this thing. Because he wanted to make sense of the crucifixion, and so he had to propose it as a kind of inevitability, because crucifixion was the death of a criminal. And we forget this. Jesus was killed as a criminal. The electric chair, injections, the noose. But then the problems get worse. Let me put it in this way. Do you think Jesus is automatically good? Do you think that being good came natural to Jesus? Well, if you kind of dehistoricize him, take him out of a world where goodness is not the norm, but more often than not, nastiness is. Violence, oppression, cowardice, lying. Anybody who is good just as we saw on the first Sunday of Lent, by being tempted to compromise, to accommodate, to equivocate. And that's a struggle. Jesus had to struggle to be Jesus, the Jesus we think we know. Why? Because if it were natural, if it were spontaneous, we'd have to deny Jesus as a real human being. Why? Because the heart of being a human being is being free. We are different from these candles or that piece of wood or my dog that only because we are free. We can choose. We must choose. It's the very cost of our humanity. Jesus chose to be good against enormous odds. Is his situation different than ours? Try telling the truth all the time. Try being aware of everybody, especially the poor and the marginalized in our world. I'm really fortunate, by the way, to work with Martin Keller at Brescia, who worked in London jail for 25 years. This is a woman without illusions, either religious or social or political or any other. It's a joy to be working under her. Jesus' goodness was struggled after, just like everybody's goodness is struggled after. Because if it were like falling off a log, it would be useless and also inhuman. If we're going to say that Jesus was fully human, as the early church did, as all the writers of the New Testament did, again, Jesus as divine was only settled in 451 at the Council of Chalcedon. And only then, after centuries of struggle, of trying to make sense of this man. So what I'm suggesting is that we kind of get behind all of that stuff, important stuff, vital stuff, but stuff, nevertheless, to appropriate the career of this man, which alone, it seems to me, makes him wonderful. And if Jesus is a God in disguise, pretending, what good would he be to me or to anybody else? What earthly good would he be? It's all big pretense. The God of Jesus is the God of truth, who is not interested in pretending. So what was goodness? What did Jesus' goodness really consist in? I mean, if he was so good, why in God's name did he get killed for being good? That's an enormously important question. Let me go back to Paul and the passage in the Philippians. Jesus was born into the condition of slavery, a condition which sin dominates so much of our lives. I mean, we'd like to pretend it's not there, and we disguise it or give it smooth names. Oppression, violence, 80% of the world living in hunger today. Our world living in hunger today. I don't want to think about that. Come on, folks. 1,000 people dying of AIDS every day. I don't want to think about that. 35,000 babies under the age of 5 dying every day. I don't want to think about all that stuff. 40% of the black population between the ages 18 and 24 in jail in the States. Think about it. Very hard to get your head around that stuff. Our justice system, is it so just? This poor lady foundering in a Mexican jail now. A resistance to interfere in Darfur because the Chinese have two big economic investments there. But more specifically, what was Jesus' goodness? One great English theologian put it, he was a man for all others, a man for all others. Prostitutes, crooks, lepers, the handicapped, women. Nobody escaped his awareness. Think about living that way in either Jesus' time or our time. You think that would not be costly? I keep going back to a little proposal I made in class years ago. I thought it was one of those great inspirations right in the middle of a lecture. I thought, well, I used to live on Orkney Crescent, fat city, I called it. Very big houses, you know, three car garages, blah, 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 blah. I said, what if I went home and bought one of those little, or rented one of those little signs, you know, those illuminated signs, those big white signs you put on your lawn, and said, AIDS victims, prostitutes, ex-convicts, the terminally ill, the deformed, welcome here. I'd be burned out. I'd be burned out. In fact, my next door neighbor said, property values are going to decrease because I wouldn't put up a bloody fence, for God's sake. That's where we are. That's our scale of values. And here's Jesus hobnobbing with all comers. That's dysfunctional, folks. That's harmful to the status quo. That's destructive of our comfort zones. We can't live that way. We can't live that way. And that's why God was so pleased with Jesus. The man who was naked and unashamed with everybody. Everybody.
created that liberated zone around himself, whereby people could begin to enter into Jesus' own freedom, or at least imagine that as a possibility for themselves. That's the meaning of the resurrection. Not like Jesus was some kind of balloon that they poked a hole in and it went skyward. As if it were inevitable. Inevitability excludes the possibility of freedom, folks. As simple as that. Was Jesus a real human being? Well, if he's not, then we all ought to take off his clothes, we ought to walk out of this room and forget the whole thing. Truly. To be human is to be free, is to struggle after one's own humanity in a world which is often not very hospitable to that humanity. Or to define humanity in a way totally counter the way Jesus is and was. That's why God was so pleased. Faithful even unto death, as the Philippians hymn has it. Faithful even unto death. Even to death on the cross, the worst kind of death you could suffer in the ancient world. Therefore God was pleased with them, and therefore God has given them a name that's above every name. So the name of Jesus, the man, every knee should bow. Easter. That's Easter. That's Easter. Everything else is some kind of pious illusion, and we're not above that. That's what we're celebrating today. If you'll allow me, that's truly worth celebrating.